Okay, let's go ahead and get our Bibles open to Matthew chapter number 2. Matthew chapter number 2 tonight. Matthew chapter number 2. We're going to talk a little bit about the wise men tonight, and we're going to come at from it a little bit of a different perspective. And I think you're going to enjoy. There might be something you might leave thinking, hey, I don't know if the pastor knew what he was talking about when it came to this one little section. But I think if you look at it from the Bible, you at least will give some consideration to the truths that are found in there and decide for yourself what you think about it. And I've been studying a little bit, never really thought about this before, but as I was studying the passages of Scripture, I saw something in there that made it a little bit different. And I'm excited about tonight kind of getting into this and looking at this thought, traveling without the star. Traveling without the star. Let's jump into Matthew chapter number 2. We're going to read verses and go all the way down to verse number 11. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. So we see these wise men. We know a little bit about these wise men. We sang about these wise men a few minutes ago. And so they came from the east and they went to Jerusalem. Verse number 2, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east. So I want you to see where it says there where they saw the star at. It was in the east. And are come to worship him. And when Herod the king had heard these things, now Herod is part of this family that is, if you go back and study the history and tradition of this family, it's sort of like the mafia that we would think of today. It's a very wicked family, very, very hard family, and he was probably one of the hardest and most wickedest of all, and they did not like someone to come up and try to take their position. So when he heard that there was a king that was going to be born of the Jews, Herod did not like that. So look how he responds. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. So he asked these men, the chief priests, the scribes, where is this Christ going to be born? And they said unto him, in Bethlehem in Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. So they responded, they knew. Why was that? Because the Jewish people, they were all looking for this Messiah. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. That's one of the prophecies that's found and fulfilled in this wonderful chapter. There's four different prophecies that are fulfilled, and that is one of them. We're going to look at that in a little while, why we can trust the Lord and can trust God and trust his word because of prophecies, but there's one of the prophecies. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, just had a private conversation, inquired them diligently what time the star appeared. And that's an important line there, and I have that underlined in my Bible, and we're going to go over that in a minute, why that's important. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east. So you see there is a star, and then where did they see it? They had seen it in the east. Went before them till it came and stood over the young child where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. They were excited because they saw the star again. Verse number 11, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary's mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense, and myrrh. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's help tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for these people. Lord, I feel like we had a wonderful weekend so far, and we don't want to look past tonight and tonight's sermon, tonight's message. Lord, help us to understand truths that are found in your word, and that every part of your word and all scripture is given by inspiration, and we can learn so much from the stories of the Bible. Help us to consider the things that are found in this story and then apply it to our own lives. And help us to learn and grow, Lord, to be able to trust in you more, to be able to continue on by faith in our lives, Lord, even though sometimes the way may not seem clear and may not seem evident, but Lord, help us to just remain faithful to you. In Jesus' name, amen. I remember when I was talking to my pastor back home about answering God's call to preach, and I told him, says, it'd be so easy if he would just write it up in the sky what you're supposed to do. Have you ever felt like that? I know I have. I mean, I'm faced with decisions all the time. It'd be just easier. Lord, whatever you say I'm willing to do, can you just make it clear? Can you write it up in the sky? I never thought of it out of this way, but you know, that's what the wise men saw. They saw something up in the sky. They saw something that, you know, there was something that was there. You see what it says in verse number one, that now Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea in the days of Herod the king. Behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Now, why would they go to Jerusalem? And there's some thoughts here to help us understand. In Numbers chapter 24, verse 17 is the only spot in the Bible and the scriptures that written talking about a star coming up out of Jerusalem. It says, I shall see him, but now I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy all the children of Sheph. Now, what many Bible scholars believe is when they saw that special star, it was a very unique star, and they had learned the scriptures, and they had known the sacred sayings. Because of that, that is the reason why they headed to Jerusalem. More than likely, many Bible scholars believe that these were descendants of the Medes from the Medes and Persian Empire. In history, the Medes had been involved in an unsuccessful revolt, and they were forced into a subservient position. Many of the Medes had studied science, and the wise men were no exception. They were men of learning and understanding, especially in astronomy, and studied the stars and the heavenly bodies. Because of their knowledge, they became counselors to the Persian king. And many historians believe because of the emperors that were famous during that time and day, there was going to be a special ruler of great impact and great significance. One day, these wise men saw a star so unusual, remember they're familiar with astronomy back then, that it motivated them to travel from Persia to Jerusalem. Now, this was not a short journey. And this journey would have been about 1,500 miles. Assuming that they took a fairly direct route. This was long before the days of airplanes and cars. Typically, for a man on horseback, it'd take even longer on camel. I know we always see them on camels, but a horse would have been a lot quicker. They can travel about 20 or 30 miles a day. So what would motivate these men to take such a trek? That star they saw, and because of that star and this scripture, they might have found out. Also remember that Daniel was part of the Mede and Persian Empire, and Daniel was someone who could have left behind writings. He understood much about prophecy. He could have provoked the writings of his predecessor. Perhaps Daniel was something that he taught about God and talked about the king and talked about the star from reference to that. Because of that, maybe the wise men knew the coming king was going to be born in Israel, and the obvious choice to go to in Israel is found in Jerusalem. So in the story tonight, we're going to look at some different misconceptions about the wise men. Because of their familiarity with the astronomy, these men knew that the star had appeared. It was a big deal, something they had never seen before, and something that meant a special message. So they headed out in their track. So when we consider the story of Christmas morning, and we see the manger scene, we see Joseph, we see Mary, we see baby Jesus, and when you see this manger scene, sometimes you see the shepherds that are there, and sometimes you see the wise men that are there, and we have this picture of the star being there over top of the manger scene. And there, to me, there's some things that we have learned from Christmas carols and learned from Christmas cards that I don't know if it really truly tells us that in Scripture. And so we're going to look at this tonight, not trying to ruin anybody's Christmas, not trying to ruin anybody's favorite Christmas carol, We Three Kings. But I wanted to show you from the scripture why I believe that there was more than three wise men, why I believe they weren't at the manger scene. And this is the one that's a little bit different for me, why I don't believe the star actually was there the whole entire time. And we're gonna get that to a little while. You know, we sing, you know, they followed them, you know, westward leading, all proceeding. We're going to look here in a little bit and understand that that's not found in the Bible. It says that they saw it in the east and that it appeared again when they came outside of Jerusalem. And so we're going to look at that in a little while. Was the star always there? And where do we learn that from? But let's look first at the number of the wise men. The number of the wise men. We always think of the wise men riding camels. If you would go back in tradition back then, if it would have been at that time period, that horses would have probably been used. Camels are a lot cooler picture for the front of a Christmas card, but it goes a lot farther and a lot faster. I know camels have that benefit of being able to hold a lot of water and this and that, but this would have been a group of men probably that were not least, they were not poor or poverty-stricken, that a horse would have been a better choice for that. We think of being, there was three wise men because of the three gifts, the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh, but the Bible indicates nowhere exactly how many wise men were there. The Bible does not indicate that. The only thing it indicates is that there are three gifts. If you go and you look at the end of one of the verses where it says in verse number, let's see here, it talks about how all of Jerusalem was troubled with him in verse number 3. It says, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled and all of Jerusalem with him. If three guys had come in on camels, you know, that wouldn't have bothered Herod. But if you're going to take this long trip that is 1,000 to 1,500 miles, and you're going to take maybe a couple years to get there, you're going to have a big entourage. You're going to have quite a number of people. You're probably going to have guards there, especially if you have things that are as valuable as gold and frankincense and myrrh. And if you're going to have things that are valuable there for the trip and how long the trip is and how long the trek is. You know, there was, back in those times, it was people that would steal and they would rob and they would look for people that were traveling through these areas and these places. So because of that, I believe that they had an entourage. Maybe there was three main wise men. Maybe there was different wise men from different areas that some people believe that saw the star and they had joined together and they met to go to Jerusalem based off the verse that was found in the Bible or based off of the teachings of Daniel. We do know that they brought three gifts, but the number of the wise men, we do not know. And I know we talked about that before. Second thing I want you to think about is when you see that pretty manger scene, you usually see the wise men at the manger scene. And we've talked about the timing of their arrival. I have a couple preacher friends that think that the three wise men were there, and that's how they got established and set up by using the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. But according to what the Bible says, I think it shows and gives credence to the fact that Mary and Joseph had already left the stable, and he was already a young child instead of a babe. So where do you see that at? Well, look what it says in chapter number 2, verse number 11. It says, and when they were come into the house, does not say when they came into the manger. It says, when they come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. So the idea there, it is not a baby, it's a young child. Can a baby be considered a young child? Possibly, but it's mentioned differently here than it is in other spots in Scripture. So he says, so we see because they came into a house instead of a stable, and they saw the young child. He said, Pastor, you could say that either way. Well, look up in verse number 7. It says, then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired them diligently what time the star appeared. So he was asking them, okay, when did you see that star originally? When did it originally appear to you? And what he was learning and what he was understanding is how old Jesus would have been at that time. Look what it says in verse number 16. Now, this is when Herod realized, he says, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked because the wise men did not come back to him, did not reveal unto him where Mary, Joseph, and the babe was, he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and all the coasts thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. So the wise men had spoke about the star that was there, and it was there 2 years earlier. And the trek that they would have seen the star when Christ was born and traveled that long could have taken up to 2 years. And this is the reason why Herod goes and slays all the babies that are 2 years old and younger, because the impression that was given is that they didn't go see Jesus as a newborn baby. They went and saw Jesus as a two-year-old or somewhere around two-year-old child. So we see the misconception of the number of the wise men, the misconception of the timing of their arrival. Last but not least, we see the misconception of the leading of the star. To me, this is where I found the most interesting here, is they're bearing the three gifts, and you see in that song, we three kings of Orient are bearing gifts. We traverse afar, field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. O star, wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide with thy perfect light. So with the impression that we get from most people is that the wise men followed that star all the way to Jerusalem. But you see here, there was a couple spots that I showed you. It says that they saw the star in the east. It didn't say that they followed the star there. They said that they saw the star in the east. And then it says in verse number 7 at the end, what time the star appeared. If the star was still there, they would have not gone to Jerusalem. At some point in time, the star had to disappear, because if the star had led them to Jerusalem, they led them to the wrong spot. They had to actually go in and ask for directions because of the fact that the star was no longer there, the star was no longer leading them. Initially, they saw the star in the east, is what the Bible says, is where they were from. But it disappeared some point in the journey, apparently, while they were in the east. Now, they were close to finding the king of the Jews based off the scripture and based off of maybe Daniel's writings, because Jerusalem was the capital city, but they had to stop and ask for directions. Look what it says in verses 9 and 10. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east. Didn't say that they saw him completely in the traveling. Didn't say the star that led them all the way to Jerusalem. It says the star that they had saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And this is the point where we see the star actually leads them to Jesus. So at some point in time, it had to be something that was disappeared. Now you say, Pastor, you don't know when it disappeared. I don't know when it disappeared, but there was a time and a place when it had disappeared. Verse number 10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. So when they saw the star again, they're like, there it is again. If it's something that had been with them all along and took them right to Jerusalem, I don't see all the exceeding joy as something they would have gotten used to. I contend to think about that they rejoice in it because they saw that star on that special day when Christ was born, and they traveled to Jerusalem because of the scripture. And then from Jerusalem, when they came out of the Jerusalem, when they came out from talking to the king, they talked about Bethlehem and how are we going to find this child. Then the star was needed. The star was needed at that point in time. And at that point in time, the star went over the house of the baby or the young child. They rejoice. It's obvious they were happy to once again catch sight of this elusive star. They had traveled countless miles without the star, and finally it appeared again before them, leading them to Jesus. Okay, you say, okay, now that you've ruined my Christmas, why are we saying this? So it's because, why does this matter? And I think it's important to understand that God sends us out in journey sometimes by faith. He gives us something that he desires for us to do, and then he expects us to live by faith and walk by faith. And when we need special direction, special attention, sometimes he allows certain things to happen. And when those things happen, we continue to follow in faith. But over and over in the Bible, we see God gives people jobs to do. And when they give them that job, he doesn't give them a star that leads them exactly where they need to be. He gives them a responsibility, and he asks them to walk by faith. Think of it. When the wise men began their journey, they had a clear calling and direction from God. They wanted to go see that special king that had a star in the sky, and they would have believed that star in the sky was a special symbol. Imagine their excitement as they set out to find the promised king of the Jews, but somewhere along the way, the star quit shining. They knew they needed to get to Jerusalem, but they no longer had the star to pinpoint their exact steps. As I said earlier, wouldn't it have been great if God would just tell you, this is exactly what we want you to do, and it takes that star and leads you from that spot. This is the person I want you to talk to. This is the message I want you to preach. This is the decision I want you to make. But that's not how God always works. Oftentimes it works the other way, like Joseph. Remember Joseph back in the Old Testament, he had those dreams. He had the sheaves bowing down to him, but he stayed faithful to those dreams. But there was no star that showed him in the pit. And there was no star that took him to Potiphar's house. There was no star that put him in the prison cell. There was no star that put him up there where Pharaoh was. And then the brothers came and bowed down. There was just him walking by faith. I know our banner's not up there, and it'll be up there by on Wednesday. But that's what the whole thing is. It's by faith. And that's what we want to understand, is that God gives us clarity and direction of what he wants us to do. And then he says, I want you to take step-by-step faith. You think about the Bible characters from the Christmas story. You think about Joseph. You know, when Joseph heard, Joseph didn't understand. Okay, what's Mary's parents going to think? They're not going to believe me. What's everybody else going to think? And all those different questions that Joseph may have had in his heart and Joseph may have had in his mind, the Bible says, then Joseph, being raised up from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him and took him in unto his wife. That it wasn't something that was shown. And so the point of the message is, if you think that the star took him all the way to Jerusalem, it's okay and it's fine. And maybe it happened that way. It disappeared at some point in time. But in our Christian lives, what are you going to do when the star goes away? What are you going to do when things seem like they change and it's not how you planned it? And you don't know what the next step is, and you don't know what you're going to do again. What are you going to do when you put yourself in Joseph's place and say, I definitely wasn't planning on having the Son of God as my son? What are you going to do, like, when you're Zacharias and Elizabeth, and they had been praying for a child for so long? But what did they do? They stayed faithful, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. That was their testimony. Elizabeth and Zacharias, that desired a son, that prayed for a son, and never got it. What are you going to do when it doesn't turn out the way you... There was no star there. There was no one saying, this is what you should do and should not do. They stayed faithful, and they had a great testimony, and God answered their prayers. You think about Mary, and you think about the story of Mary. Same thing. Mary wasn't expecting this. And Mary even says, you know, how in the world is this going to happen? And the Bible says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Over and over in the Bible, God gives direction, God gives leadership. God says, this is what I want you to do. Now I want you to go out, and I want you to live by faith. And when things don't turn out the way you should, what are you supposed to do? I mean, what were the wise men supposed to do when the star went away? Were they supposed to give up? You think about it. If they would have given up when the star went away, and I definitely will tell you, I believe that the star definitely went away before they got to Jerusalem, because the star wouldn't have taken them to the wrong spot. And so what do you do when the star? Do you give up and you turn around and go back? They would have never saw Jesus. They would have never finished the job that God had given them to do, what God desired for them to do, and what God planned for them to do. And I'm telling you, if we give up when the star is away, when we give up when we don't understand what God is doing, we miss some of the greatest parts of our life. And Mary would have said, I don't understand. I don't want to have anything to do with this. What a blessing Mary would have missed. Miss Mary Jo sings that song, Mary, Did You Know? And it goes over and says, did you know that you're going to walk on water? Did you know? She didn't know. I mean, it gives you an understanding to think about it. Now, of course, if she knew the scriptures, she did know that the Messiah was going to heal the blind and, you know, do all these different things. But some of the special things that are mentioned in the song, she didn't know those things. How could she know? All she could do was to walk by faith. And all Joseph could do would be like, I don't see how this is going to work out. I don't understand how all these things are going to be figured out. It's what do you do when the star goes away? What do you do when you know what God wants you to do, but you don't know what the next step is? And I love the story of Elizabeth and Zacharias and the idea there that they were righteous before God. They walked in his commandments. Even though they didn't get what they want, they had the testimony of being blameless before God. So here's the things that you do when the star disappears or when the star goes away. The first thing I want you to think about is you remain faithful. You remain faithful. Remain faithful to the journey. And like I said, life does not often turn out the way we expected. Life so many times throws us curveballs. It's is remaining faithful to what God wants you to do. Last night they had some fog outside, and I can remember sometimes driving in the fog and realizing I wanted to get to a certain location, and sometimes you have to slow down. Sometimes you just have to keep your eyes focused on a certain spot or a certain line, and you're hoping to get to catch a glimpse of the mile markers. You're hoping to get to catch a glimpse of what you knew you wanted to go to. It was clear maybe when you got out in the car and started heading to the church, but it started getting a little foggy, and there was some place that you wanted to go and you know you needed to be, and then it became foggy and you could not see, and you just stayed faithful. You might have had to slow down a little bit. You might have had to pay closer attention. You may have had to take particular notice, and maybe the route might have had to get redirected. Maybe you had to wait for a little while. And the same thing with our Christian lives, when things seem like they're taking and becoming a little bit foggy and they're coming a little bit unusual and you're not sure what God is doing, you're not sure what directions he's going to lead you, don't give up, don't turn around and go back home, but instead continue on and continue on being faithful. The Bible says, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. If God has a calling on your life, he will do it. He began the work in you, and he will finish the work in you. The wise men, I believe, were without the star for a long time, but they stayed the course. Likewise, God isn't going to reveal himself to us immediately, but as we stay faithful to the Lord, he will show us what he wants us to do. When you don't see where to go, stay faithful. When you don't know what to do, stay faithful. When all you know is that God has called you a long time ago to do whatever it is he's put in your life, stay faithful. When obstacles seem to confront you, when new ideas seem to come, stay faithful. When your burden and your spirit seem low, don't give up. Don't just throw in the towel. Stay faithful. Keep to the journey. There is a plan and a purpose that God has for you. And sometimes it's easy to get discouraged. And sometimes things do become foggy. But you know the things you've learned from the God. You know the things you learned from the Bible. You know when God spoke into your heart. And you know what you desire to do. Just don't give up. Just like the wise men, when the star went away, they didn't give up. They kept on going. Not only do we stay faithful, secondly, we follow God's word. We follow God's word. If you look in here, and it's amazing that, you know, they come and speak to Herod, and Herod goes and he finds the people that know the Bible. And it says in verses 4 and 5, and when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. Do you catch that? The wise men didn't go to Bethlehem because the star suddenly appeared for them while they were in Jerusalem. They went because they were directed by those that had written the scriptures, by the prophet who had written the scriptures. And I don't know about you, but I do not always sense the divine presence in my life. Sometimes I feel God's leading, and sometimes I feel strongly that we should do something, and I follow with all my heart and with all my mind, and sometimes you get to halfway through it, and you're like, should we even be doing this? And I had to remember that God's the one that called us, and God's the one that's going to be faithful, and we stay true to the scriptures. Sometimes when life gets a little foggy, sometimes when it seems like there is no clear leadership, people will give up and people will throw away the scriptures and they won't even remember the things that God has already showed them. We may not always see the hand of God parting the waters of the Red Sea. We may not always watch manna appear on the dew as dew on the ground. We may not always see the prophets of Baal being slain from fire after the fire is called down from heaven. But we can always turn to his word, and he will always give us leadership. He'll always give us guidance. And the wise men, if they would have just known the scriptures better, guess what they would have went to? They would have went to Bethlehem anyway. But instead, they didn't. And there's a purpose for that. So remain faithful. Follow God. Last but not least, trust in his plan. Trust in his plan. One of the things I love about the story of the baby being born was all the different scriptures, prophecies that have been fulfilled. I showed you one earlier when it said in verse number 6, it says, and now Bethlehem is in the land of Judah, are not thou least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall a governor, thou shalt rule my people, Israel. So the people who have known the scriptures, that's found in Micah 5:2. In the book of Hosea, chapter 11, verse number 1, it says that Jesus is going to be called out of Egypt. Also, in Jeremiah 31:15, it says there's going to be great weeping in Ramah. And also in Isaiah 11, verse 1, it says Jesus is going to be a Nazarene. Now put yourself a couple hundred years ago before Jesus was going to be born. And if you're a Bible scholar, you see, okay, he's going to be born in Bethlehem. He's going to be called out of Egypt, and he's also going to be a Nazarene. Plus, there's going to be weeping in Ramah, which is nowhere near Bethlehem. How are all those things going to be figured out? How in the world is God going to have him born here but have weeping up here? How is God going to say he's going to come out of Egypt but still going to be called a Nazarene? And, you know, in our own mind, in our own thinking, we're thinking, how in the world is God going to work all those details out? But the scripture shows it historically and scripturally right here. Verse number 6, it says he was born in Bethlehem. And if you go to verse number 15, it says, and he was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. So he had gone there because Herod was looking to kill his son. And then you see the weeping in Ramah, verse number 18. And Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not, because of the fact that Herod had made an instruction to kill all the children that were under 2 years old. There was great weeping in Ramah. And he said, well, what about the Nazarite thing? What about the Nazarene thing? Look what it says in verse 23. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. It's amazing how God can take those four separate prophecies and work them all together. Calling out of Egypt, being a Nazarene, the weeping in Ramah, but the birth in Bethlehem. How in the world? We couldn't have figured that out. We would have never understood all that, but that teaches us exactly how God can take every single detail and work it all out, and that's why we should trust in him. That's the reason why we can trust in him, is because he showed us and he's demonstrated to us that he's been faithful. To us, it looks like a bunch of puzzle pieces everywhere, and we don't see the finished product, and we don't understand how we can get the finished product there. But God is just taking each piece and putting it together, that this star was not there, and that they had gone to Jerusalem to see Herod because of the prophecies that were going to be fulfilled of him being born in Bethlehem, but yes, being going to Egypt so he could be called out of Egypt, so he could be a Nazarene and be called a Nazarene because he grew up in Nazareth. But the weeping that was in Ramah, how does all those things work out? It's because God knew about it ahead of time. And that's the amazing point. What do you do when the star isn't there? What do you do when you don't know where the next step is? You remain faithful to your journey. You go to the Word of God in the Bible, and you trust in his plan. It doesn't make any sense to us. I don't understand it, God. He's the one that has it figured out. Just like the story of Joseph. He got a calling on his life. He followed that. He was faithful. By faith, Abraham left his country. He had a calling on his life, and God worked it out. There was nothing written in the sky saying, Abraham, this is what you should do. It's not there. It wasn't there for Joseph. It wasn't there for Mary. And we see the testimony of Zacharias and Elizabeth at the end of their lives, and we see the testimonies of the Simeons and the Annas, all looking for the coming king, all looking for the coming Messiah. But their testimony was that they stayed faithful in the journey, they stayed close to the Word of God, and they trusted in him. So what do you do when life seems like it's overwhelming and you can't figure out what to do next? Remain faithful. Stay faithful. Don't give up. Don't give up in church. I know something I've seen happen so many times is if things aren't going very well, I'm going to stop going to church. We need to go to church more then. I'm going to stop reading my Bible. You need to stay faithful. You need to get to his word. You need to find the hope that's found in his word, because it's not always going to be written in the sky, but it's written in his word what we should do next. I think it's amazing that if the wise men would have known the scriptures a little bit better, they could have went straight to Bethlehem. But they did. Think about it. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. And last but not least, consider this. Had the wise men gone home when the star disappeared, they would have never, ever seen Jesus. They would have missed the whole point that they could have had the privilege. So privilege, it was the Son of God. We get over it too easy. We just think about, yeah, it's a manger scene, it's a baby, it's a nice story. God became flesh. I mean, there is no greater story in all the world that God became flesh to rescue us from our sins and rescue us from the bondage of our sin. He became flesh so he could be crucified and paid our sin penalty. These wise men knew that there was some type of special ruler that was going to come and that was going to be that star out of Jacob, that scepter that's also mentioned, and that they go hand in hand, and they need to see him. And I tell you, if the Son of God was going to be born somewhere and we understood and we knew what it was, we wouldn't be like those scribes and those high priests that said to Herod, he's born in Bethlehem. We would have said, if he's going to be born in Bethlehem, I need to get there. I want to see this. If the Messiah is here, we need, that's what these wise men did. They traveled 1,500 miles maybe. They traveled maybe 2 years just to be able to come and present a gift and to worship him because of the fact they saw that star. They saw that leading. I wonder how many of us have abandoned our calling in life because the star is gone. We hear the calling. We hear the preaching. And God speaks to our heart. We know we're supposed to surrender. We know we're supposed to give this up, or we're supposed to start doing this. But the moment that that calling becomes a little bit foggy, we start questioning, we start wondering, and we stop being faithful to the calling. We stop being faithful to the word that spoke to our hearts. Instead, we start trusting in ourselves and trusting in the things that we feel is more comfortable than what God desires for us. Had the wise men gone home when the star disappeared, they wouldn't have seen Jesus. And likewise, we cannot abandon our calling when we don't see the star. If we'll only keep going, we'll find that God blesses our faithfulness. Don't get me wrong, this journey that we are supposed to be taken by faith have many twists and turns. Sometimes they have that Jerusalem that you have to go to. Sometimes, like Joseph, there was a pit, and then there was Potiphar's house, and then there was prison, and then there was the Pharaoh and the second next to Pharaoh, and then there was the brothers and the father. God worked out all those details. If you would have asked Joseph to figure out how he was going to get his brothers to bow down to him, he would have never known. If you would have asked Abraham how he was going to become the father of a great nation that was going to bless the whole world when he didn't have a kid when he in his 90s until he was 100, he would have never known. See, it wasn't written out in the sky. What was written out was, this is what I want you to do. Now be faithful to it and be faithful to my word and trust in me, because I can accomplish what I've put in your heart and what I've spoke to you about. So what happens when those feelings change or when the star goes away? Be faithful. Be faithful to the calling of God. Remember his word and trust in him. Now, if you want to tell me, hey, pastor, I think that they followed the star all the way there, go ahead. I believed that for many years. I've read this a couple different times in different ways. So this year I studied it out a little bit more. And I feel like there was at least a good portion of the time the star was not there. Because they said, we saw it in the east. And they were excited when they saw it again. And they had gone to Jerusalem, so the star was gone for at least a period of time. And I know there's different ways that people explain it, but I don't see how it comes all the way out of scriptures that way. So you can still sing We Three Kings all you want. But at the same time, let's give consideration to this thought, because it teaches us a powerful Bible lesson. The star is not always going to be there, but our commission will be. And if we stop the commission ahead of time, we're going to miss the things that God has planned for us. And that's the one thing I don't think we should. We should not miss out on what God has in store for us in our lives. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.